and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Please be seated. Isn't it beautiful? Take a moment. Take it all in. The beauty and the mystery and the wonder. And let's just take a moment and ponder these things in our heart like Mary. Amen. No more shopping to be done, right? No more scurrying about looking for the next or last best thing. Hopefully, most meals are in a great state of preparation for tomorrow. And this is the time to stand in wonder of the mystery that is beyond our comprehension. The mystery of the incarnation of God made flesh in the infant of Bethlehem, in the womb of his mother. This human child born of a human mother in this backward, backwater, nothing town in a nothing province of the Roman Empire. The creator of the universe decided to come and live among us as one of us. That's worth pondering, don't you think? How often do we think about these things? How often, like Mary, do we ponder them in our hearts? This unbelievable, gracious act of God to come among us as one of us. The angels tell the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. The world into which these events happened lived in fear. Lived in fear of political and military oppression, high taxes, fear of death, fear of not knowing where the next meal was going to come from. The human race, for most of our existence, has lived in fear. And it is the fear that lives in us that brings about so much disaster and atrocity and war and destruction. We are afraid. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid of creation and what it might do to us. We live in fear because we don't trust the one who said, 'Be not afraid.'" Some 30 years ago, when I first went to be rector of St. Andrew's in Canton, I was driving around in Haywood County. Y'all know Haywood County? And I went by Bethel Baptist Church out on Highway 276. The Reverend Dr. Roy Kilby, pastor there. And there was a sign in front of Bethel Baptist Church that said, "Do not be afraid. it says, don't be afraid 365 times in Holy Scripture. One for every day of the year. Now, I did not count them, but I know the pastor at Bethel Baptist did. And I believe that sign to be true. At least 365 times in Scripture, God tells us, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am with you, and I am coming to you, and I will save you, and it's going to be okay. You may die a violent death in war or some other way. You may starve to death. You may die from disease. But I am with you, and you have nothing to fear, because I will never leave you. How many of y'all know the Charlie Brown Christmas show? Started showing back in the 60s when I was a kid. We watched it. I couldn't wait for Charlie Brown Christmas to come every year, and especially the part where Linus recites from memory the gospel from Luke that you just heard in the King James Version. Stands on the stage in his little shepherd outfit and recites the Christmas story. We know it by heart, don't we? We're just like Linus. We have heard it all our lives. We've read it multiple times. The words are etched in our minds and our hearts to bring us the comfort of God's presence with us, and to remind us that we don't have to be afraid, because the one who loves us the best and the most is with us. And indeed, he is in us. And that's the greatest mystery of all, isn't it? That the Lord of heaven and earth not only condescended to come into his own creation in the infant of Bethlehem, but that God, the creator, sustainer, redeemer of the universe, chooses to take up residence in us. The mystery of the incarnation is not just God enfleshed in baby Jesus, but God continuing to be enfleshed in you and me. Do y'all look at the historical document section of the prayer book? I love that stuff. It used to drive my parishioners crazy when I tell them to pick up their prayer books and turn to page 864. And look at the definition of the union of the divine and human nature from the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD. Oh, you just get all goosey when you read that stuff. It makes me tingle. And in that statement, we get a new word in our Christian vocabulary. Actually, probably a couple, but the one I like the best is when it says, Mary, born of Mary, the Virgin, the God-bearer, in parentheses, Theotokos. God, that's a great word. Theotokos, the God-bearer. In her womb, in her body, she bears God into the world. That's why we're here tonight. That's what we celebrate. That's why we gather here and around hearth and home, in families and groups of friends throughout this season, because of this incarnational mystery given to us through Mary the Theotokos. We can't be Theotokos. That's a non-repeatable vocation. That's Mary's only. But we get to be Christ-katakos. Christ-katakos. We are Christ-bearers. We bear the living Lord Jesus in us wherever we go, and we show him to everyone we meet, making him incarnate, enfleshed in all the world, all around the world, wherever there are folks that claim him, that have been baptized into the mystery of his death and resurrection, who gather together to remember, that is to say, to put back together. To remember is the opposite of to dismember. We put our lives back together when we remember his life. We put our lives back together with his life, and we are unified, connected with him and with each other with unbreakable bonds, so that the light that came into the world on the first Christmas can never be extinguished, because you and I and all others are privileged to bear that light and to show him forth. You are Christotokos. You are Christ bearers. You let the light of Jesus and this holy night shine in you and through you wherever you go, because he cannot be hidden. He will not be hidden. He will be shown forth. I love Luke's story, and I love Matthew's very different story. Sometimes in crash scenes they get conflated, don't they? The wise men don't come till January 6th, remember? The Feast of the Epiphany. But we always put them in there, right, with the shepherds and everybody else. So we conflate the stories, and that's okay. But as I grow older, I'm quite sure I'm not growing much wiser, but at least I'm growing older, I ponder more and more not Luke or Matthew's Christmas story, but St. John's, which will be the one for tomorrow morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. When I say my bedtime prayers, I mix and match between, take a little bit from evening prayer, a little bit from compline, a little bit from morning prayer, and just sort of mix and match and put together something that I hope God is pleased with. But I love the third song of Isaiah from morning prayer, and I recite it every night in my bed. And part of that says, just as rain and snow fall from the heavens and return not again but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread for eating, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I have purposed and prosper in that for which I sent it. The word of God made flesh will not return to him empty. The word of God made flesh in Jesus will accomplish God's purpose. The word of God made flesh in Jesus will make the whole creation new. He makes us new. He renews his life in us every time that we remember what God in Christ has done is doing, will do, and give thanks for that. This is a time to remember, isn't it? I've been thinking all week about my childhood Christmases at grandparents' homes. Lots of good food always. Lord have mercy, my grandmothers could cook, I'm telling you. They probably fried me to death, truth be told. But that's all right. But the joy that we shared, the love that we shared, going from one grandparent to the other, we all lived in the same county, an extended family, cousins by the dozen, all gathering together, aunts and uncles. It was wonderful. But it wasn't until I matured a little that I began to understand it's not about the stuff under the tree. It's about the love in the hearts of those that made those marvelous celebrations possible and joyful and wonderful. As you all gather around your trees tomorrow and share the bounty that God has lavished upon you with your loved ones, you might ponder in your hearts the question, where does that love originate? From whence does it come? From whom does it come? If you feel love for another person, I can guarantee you that love was not self-generated. It came to you as a gift to be held, to be unwrapped, to be opened, and then to be shared. Love is no good if you hoard it, is it? You can't hoard it. Love must be shared in order to be love. And the love that we know and share with each other in this holy season, on this holy night, in this holy place filled with wonder and beauty, comes to us from outside of us. It comes to us from the Lord of life, from the Lord of love, from the Lord of light. And the light that we carry can never be extinguished. It will not be put out until all that God has purposed will be accomplished through the word that he spoke into Mary's womb, which then became flesh in the person of the infant of Bethlehem, whom we come to adore and worship tonight. We will take him into our very bodies in the mysteries of the Holy Eucharist. We will feast on him. He will live in us through word and sacrament and love received, so that that love can be shared and will carry the Christ into the world from this place. And his light will shine in the darkness of this world because this world needs it. Do we not? Does the world not need this light? Here's a vision for you. In this time in which we live, from Isaiah, for all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. That's the day we long for. And the sovereign who is born from Mary's womb into the world that we celebrate tonight is the one who can accomplish that vision, because God's word will not return to him empty. It will accomplish that which he has purposed and prosper in that for which he sent it. That for me is the mystery of Christmas. And that's why we're here tonight. To praise God in song and in fellowship and in feasting and in hearing and then in going forth renewed, refreshed, emboldened to make him known. So, when you leave here tonight, y'all be Christotokos, okay? Bear the Christ into the world, back to your homes, wherever you go, and make him shine again. That's our vocation together as Christians. Amen.